Wednesday, May 3rd, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Back in the Stone Age, when I was eating school lunch, they were as good as home-cooked meals when I was in junior high. You could walk to class smelling fried chicken cooking. Then in high school, they took advantage of government food subsidies. They would serve beets, spinach, and sauerkraut, and other commodity provisions, and all that happened is it filled the garbage cans at the end of the lunch hour. They could claim they served it, but few ate the lunches. I was the exception, liking sauerkraut, getting all that I wanted in those days. Now, beet, spinach, and cabbage producers loved these commodity programs, as they supported prices. But nevertheless, it was a waste of taxpayer money. For a while, things changed again to where schools served lunches, pizza, hot dogs, and chips that the kids would eat. Then Michelle Obama decided that the cuisine was unhealthful and helped USDA with new food guidelines for schools that altered menus to more healthful fare. To receive federal funding, schools had to meet guidelines for whole grains, sodium, and milk. There's nothing wrong with serving healthy food, but kids do have to eat it or the program is moot. It didn't take long for Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to put together a new order that will give schools more flexibility in school lunch menus. For example, they can serve 1% flavored milk instead of fat-free. Kids will actually drink this milk. The order will ease restrictions and calorie limits, salt intake, and restrictions on meat and fat. They can have vending machines and bake sales again. The foodies are frustrated because they had 99% of the schools in compliance with the restricted food program, but what had they accomplished? Purdue said, if the kids are not eating the food and it's ending up in the trash, they are not getting any nutrition, thus undermining the intent of the program. This is a lesson that they seem to have to keep on learning over and over. On the grains, there was more rain in Illinois and Missouri causing some flooding, but that should be about it before weather begins to improve. They had two-thirds of the crop in ahead of the rain in those states, and some was damaged, but I've been there and done that before, and most crops will survive. Without the rains, the bulls would have been crying drought, so they always have a glass half empty while mine is half full. Conditions in Iowa and Minnesota and the Dakotas are improving with a good forecast ahead. Planters will be rolling in a few days, and the window appears open enough for good planting progress. It is a perfect time to plant corn. I doubt we have lost any significant amount of corn and soybean production potential yet. Informa added 1 million metric ton to Brazil's corn production at 96 million and 2 million metric tons to Brazil's soybean production at 113 million. They reduced Argentina's corn crop by 200,000 metric tons to 38 million and soybean crop by 800,000 tons to 56.8. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. The Kansas wheat tur is not seeing the yield potential they found a year ago, but that was expected as crop ratings were not as high. It'll be 7 to 10 days before the freeze damage can be fully assessed. Damage was done and some wheat will be abandoned, reducing acreage. Spring wheat planting progress should advance. There's another freeze threat for the Ohio River Valley. A headline read, Ohio farmers plant fewest wheat acres in state history, which to me reads, Ohio farmers will plant record soybean acreage. A lot of wheat planted in the eastern Corn Belt was double cropped to soybeans, but soybeans will be the first crop this year, which significantly boosts yield potential. On the cattle, cash cattle were trading 145-146. Just 1,745 head were offered on the online auction. Just 547 head sold with a 140-15 average. Given the basis, June live cattle could well enter a blow-off phase where they gap higher on expanded limits, creating exhaustion as the shorts bail from the market. Once futures catch up to the cash market, a major top should be at hand. Shorts trapped in June live cattle will often buy August. That typically doesn't work. As noted, I think that the winter storm impacted the cattle industry more than wheat. Show lists were thin, and then marketing cattle will now be delayed to allow them to recover weight from the storm. 136.27 fills the continuation gap left by the April contract expiration. They can't get there Thursday, but they can by Friday. Given where cash cattle are trading, June live cattle can take on a test of the April 138.90 high and still be discounted to cash. Feeder cattle has a gap extension and retracement objective at 167.45. The bull rush in the cattle complex made the Wall Street Journal, which is the bellwether to an impending top, seen typically within a matter of days. When you can read about it in the paper, then the last buyers are getting in. The front-end cattle supply was extremely tight, and then a major storm roils the industry, negatively impacting feedlot performance, disrupting production. The timing was perfect for trouble. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.